Well, good morning, everybody. I want to welcome you here at the broadcast location and all of our locations across Texas and online. Come on, church family, let's welcome each other. Groves, Mount Enterprise, Duncan, Dyball, online, Nacogdoches, Iglesia, Lufkin, and who knowsville is next. We're not gonna give up. We're gonna still be going. Until heaven is full, growth is not an option for us. And I can see more and more, especially at our Lufkin and our Nacogdoches locations, how tight our 10 o'clock services are. I want to invite you that if you're able, if it doesn't mess your family up too much, to consider dipping your toe in the water of an 8:30 or 11:30 service, exact same services all three times in a row. But it opens up a little bit more space in our 10 o'clock for guests that are coming, our looky-loos, they're dipping their toe in the water for the first time. And so if that's something you're able to do, maybe give it a shot for like a month and see if that happens so we can create more space in our 10 o'clock services. We continue on in our series on parenting. Some of you are parents and you feel like you look in the mirror and you like what you see. Keep humbling yourself. Maybe you look in the mirror and you dislike what you see and you can get discouraged. Hang in there, there's hope. Maybe you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, but it motivates you. Good. There's next steps we all can take. Maybe you're not parents and you want to be some. Maybe you're parents and you're wondering why. Some of you are grandparents. Whether you are here or not and you're parenting, maybe you're a teenager in the room. This series is going to help you, even as a teenager, begin to understand the whole dynamic of what your own parent or parents are going through. And so maybe when you're in one of our rooms, your life feels a little chaotic. Or could it be that their house just doesn't, it's not clean in itself. You know, it's not as clean as you'd like. When it comes to the craziness, you haven't gone on a date for a while with your spouse. And I mean, just maybe just a date would be like just you by yourself in the bathroom without the door being knocked on every 3 minutes. Maybe you are dealing with the month's schedule that is crazy. And it was like even, you thought it was going to be less crazy this month, but now it's even crazier than last month. And next month, you're like, when will it slow down? And it probably will not. Sometimes we're feeling like there's more month left at the end of the money, you know. And here's the deal with them. When it comes to a lot of parents in all of our rooms today, you're doing lots of things. As a matter of fact, you're doing lots of good things. You're doing lots of good things. But what can happen to me, and to my spouse, and to you, and to your family is we don't always know why we're doing what we're doing. We just have collected a lot of things we continue to do. We don't even know why we're doing what we're doing, why we're running at a breakneck speed, why we've said yes to so many things, why we're involved in so much, why we respond that way when that's probably not the way I want to respond. Why do they do what they continue to do? Why won't they do what I already told them to do? Like, why? And sometimes we just feel swallowed up by the daily grind of parenting. It's hard to push pause and kind of elevate, take a helicopter view of this whole thing. One thing's for sure, if you're like me, you're looking for effective strategies. You're looking for 9 ways to talk to your kids about this, 4 ways to have a conversation about sex, 3 tips on not losing your cool, 7 ways to get them to eat their vegetables. Like there's always an effective strategy that we're looking for. If I just had a little bit better strategy, if I just had a checklist, if I just had a A, B, C, D, E, and maybe this would be a little bit better, a little bit easier. I get that. But let's really kind of set the tone for the rest of the weeks we have together in this series on parenting. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. The goal for today and the goal for the rest of this series of the next 4 weeks, it's not about getting a checklist for parenting. You can get that on Google. You can get a checklist. You can even get a Christian checklist, and that's fine. And there is a place for resourcing. But I like what our speaker last week said. It's not about the resources. It's about the source. And so the goal for today is not about a checklist for parenting. It's about getting a clear picture of parenting. The clearest picture possible of what parenting is all about. What we're really trying to do. what we're really trying to accomplish, who we're really trying to serve. This is a picture, somewhat clear picture. It's not the clearest it could be of my family. My daughter Sage is 20 years old. I'm 44. My wife is 32 and 168 months. Graham is 15. This is a picture of a picture. I took a phone, iPhone, and I took a picture of a picture. This picture was in this frame. And so it's not the most, the clearest, the best way to see the clearest image of us and our family is to stand with us face to face. You can see maybe the good things. You can see some of the lines in my face that might be from a little bit of wisdom and some that might be from a little bit of stress. On FaceTime 2 days ago, my daughter said, "Dad, get closer." And she saw some gray hair coming in right here. She's like, "No way. You know, you're not wise, you know." I'm like, "Thanks." End conversation. Here's what I did. I took that picture. I took that frame and I took a picture. I took a copy of it in our copy machine in our offices. And when I took a copy of this in the copy machine, this is what I got. And then I took that picture and I put it through the copy machine and this is what I got. Then I took that one and put it through and this is what I got. Then I did it again and this is what I got. Then I did it again and this is what I got. Only six copies later, I went from here to here. This is a picture of my family. You would never know it because the copying has distorted and so pixelated and so darkened and so densified that you don't even see who we even are. Why is that? Well, because a copy of a copy of a copy loses clarity. And friends, listen to me. You and I, this isn't because you've done something wrong. This is because you're breathing and living. You are a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. There are certain things that your parents did in raising you that you have copied. Some you're aware of, some you don't know. You are a chip off the you're a chip off the block. You are just like your dad when you do that. And some things you're like, yeah. And some things are like, no boy. You're a copy of a copy of a copy. Because your parents took a copy, your parents' mom and your parents' dad, they had things they saw that they copied and stuff that they experienced that they didn't want to copy. And so there's some things that in your parents that you copied and you don't even realize, you don't even like that you copied it, but you know that's how you respond because it's just a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. And what happens is we get distorted, and it's not just with your parenting. It's with the people next door. It's with the other kids in school. It's with the baseball team. It's with the baseball moms. It's with how they respond on the text thread and how you copy how they respond on the text thread. This is what all the other kids are doing to get ahead and get the scholarships. And so as a family, these are the things we have to do to get ahead of, because if we don't do what they're doing, if we don't copy their behavior, we're not going to get everything done and our kids won't be who they need to be. And we get in this vicious cycle of copying, copying, copying. And we wake up someday and we look around and we say, how did we get here? What is the real clear? What is the clarity here when it comes to parenting? That's the goal of today. Clear picture parenting, a parent reorientation, so to speak. The Apostle Paul says it like this in Romans 12, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. But so often that's the easiest thing. Do what I say, not as I do, but you will do as they do too. Do as I say, not as I do, or that's the way they did it. I want to learn that. And some things, like I love it. You know one thing I love that are copied? Like when kids copy the right behaviors, that's good. But even a copy is not the real thing. And you can parrot, just like a parrot goes, or sounds like what they heard on TV. That's not really what it is. It's just parroting. And sometimes our kids will copy what we're saying. Did you hear what I said? Yes. This is the way I need. Out of control emotions will not produce godly character in my life. They can copy what you say. But are they really becoming who they're called to become? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. And in this series, you could consider becoming a new parent. That's what God wants to do. He doesn't want just to adjust you. He wants to make you a new parent. And here's how he does it. By changing the way you discipline. Because maybe that's what they need. I can tell you some of these kids, they're not ADD. They're not attention deficit disorder. They're adult discipline disorder. That's what they are. Maybe you heard that. I heard that. I mean, my parents heard that with me, and they disciplined well. change the way you parent by changing the way you reward them. If I just maybe there's some more rewards that need to happen. Or change the way you lose it sometimes, because you losing it is not creating the right environment in the home. Or maybe could it be like, maybe I just need to be, by changing, you become a new parent by changing the rules and expectations. And so you just haven't been hard enough on the rules. You haven't made the expectation. You know what excellence is? Excellence equals met expectations. So maybe your expectations aren't clear. All those things are things Paul could say, but inspired by the Holy Spirit from the heart and soul of God himself, here's where we get into new parenting is by changing the way you think. It's not about your parenting, and it's not about your kids. It's the way you think about your role as a parent, and it's about how you think about your kids. It's not their behavior that drives you nuts. It's the way you think about their behavior that's driving you nuts. The way I think affects the way I feel, and the way I feel affects the way I act. And all of a sudden, copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, we're following the customs of this world that it's just normal to act out of fear versus faith, or act out of frustration instead of discipline. And we are thinking, feeling, and acting, and the produce over here has gotten all distorted because it's a copy of a copy of a copy that's lost its clarity. We got to go back to the source of it all. We got to go back to what God says clear picture parenting is all about. So clear picture parenting, three thoughts today. Three thoughts. First of all, if we can get clear picture of parenting, it is going to drastically change how we approach ourselves. I mentioned it last week in one of the services that when there's an emergency on the airplane and the oxygen masks fall, they say, put the mask on you first, then help your kid. What? Why would you not help your kid first? Because you can't help them if you're passed out in the aisle. You've got to have what you need. You've got to see what your responsibility is before you can ever help them see anything. So if you're living distorted, they're going to copy a certain amount of behavior in that. So let me clarify this first about yourselves. Ourselves. First is this. We are not owners. We're not owners of our kids. Now, I can feel that way because you birth them. You pay the bills. You do this and do that. I mean, like, it's my way or the highway. Here's what ownership parents sound like. These kids belong to me, so I'm going to parent the way I see fit. And that's kind of a normal, no. I would never, my kids would never throw themselves down. This is you, newlywed. My kids won't ever throw themselves down in the middle of the Bluebell ice cream aisle begging for something. And 4 years later, you're dragging them through Brookshire's. It's like the guy who went down that same aisle and there was a kid throwing a temper tantrum on the floor and the little girl was just throwing a temper tantrum and the mom was just sitting there saying, get a hold of yourself, Alice. You got this, Alice. There's no need to freak out, Alice. And the person watching this says, Alice, you need to listen to your mom. And the mom says, no, I'm Alice. Here's an owner's vision. Here's an owner's vision. What you want to look like down the road, what things need to happen. And I mean, this makes sense. And if you're not careful, you'll copy this and I'll copy this. And I have. But here's a vision that most parents have. It's what we want our kids to be. It's what we want our kids to do. We want them to be successful. We want them to be respectful. We want them to be credible. We want them to be honest. We want them to do the right thing. We want them to do the thing that is hard that's going to be good. We want them to do what we ask them to do the first time. And what we want from them in return is a little respect around here. What we want in return is a little bit of understanding. What we want in return is for them just to hear us and not have to repeat ourselves over and over and over again. And that may sound a little edgy. If I were to soften it, what we want our kids to be is like successful. And we'll do whatever we can and leverage whatever we can and sacrifice whatever we can and run at a breakneck speed at whatever speed we can. And we will squeeze away every single ounce of margin in our lives just so that our kids will become something that we want our kids to be. Maybe because we didn't feel like we had it. Maybe because you got made fun of because you didn't have the nicest clothes. We will never let our kids be in that same position, so we will spend our way into unbelievable debt to get our kids things that they're gonna grow out of in 6 months because we want them to not have to experience what we experienced or we want them to have what we didn't have, and it's all about what we want. Owners get to do that. Owners get to decide because they are the owners. Unfortunately, ownership parenting leads us slowly away from God's design, because God's design didn't place you in their lives as the owner. We're not owners. Here's what we are, and this is a shift of clarity for the big picture. This is a clear picture parenting. If you will see yourself this way, we are ambassadors. We're not owners over our children. We are ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador has a leader that they follow, a king of a country they're from. They are citizens of another country with a ruler over that country. And those ambassadors step out of that country into new territory. And here's what they do. They faithfully represent the convictions and the character of the leader who sent them. As a God follower, you are an ambassador. If you want to copy the behaviors of this world, you can do the ownership thing. If you have chosen, I really want to raise my kids, not just in church, I want to raise my kids with the Lord being their source, with God being the center of everything, with God's word being the moral compass for their lives, you don't get to opt out of this. You don't get to keep being an owner. You have to see yourself as an ambassador if you truly want to put Jesus central in your life, in your leadership, and in your parenting. An ambassador vision is a little different. A vision of the ambassador is not about what we want from our kids or for our kids. An ambassador's vision, what drives you, what gives you clarity, what makes the picture not lose its brilliance, it's about what God wants to do through us in our kids. It's what's happening on the inside of our kids. It's not the produce. It's not the fruit that grows on the limb of the academic scholarship, or they finally figured out how to throw the knuckleball, or they started dating someone who, like, you approve of finally, or they, like, you know, didn't do armed robbery this year. All of those things are going to be produced not from the outside in, but from the inside out. And so our job as parents is to understand that the craziest, most dangerous thing that your kids are ever going to face and going to experience them isn't even outside them. It is inside them. We have to be ambassadors representing the leader who sent us. Oh, what greater joy, what greater privilege to know that you are a tool in the hand of God for forming a human soul. What greater responsibility. Some of us are so focused on what we can accomplish. It may be, could it be, that the most important thing is not ever what you will ever do, but who you raise? Character parenting, clear picture parenting changes how we approach ourselves, but also it changes how we approach our kids. When we can understand the starting point of ambassadorship, we're also able to approach our kids in a little bit different way. Now, this room and all of our rooms across our locations, there's all kinds of different kids with all kinds of different temperaments and personalities and needs and wants and good things and bad things and stuff they learned the first time and stuff they haven't learned the 80th time. Just to take a quick snapshot of your kids and mine, you know, across the city is a dad on his iPhone taking a picture of sweet little girl talking, you know, reacting like she's reading. She's not even old enough to read yet. And they're just having this beautiful thing. And so dad takes a quick snapshot and sends that picture to mom, who is at the grocery store with their oldest child doing exactly what we were talking about earlier. And just like, oh, it's keep it together, Alice. Keep it together, Alice. In that same grocery store, you got a 16-year-old who's self-motivated, who said to mom and dad, not mom and dad saying, you need to get a job, but who was by 13, like wanted to do their own dog walking business. And by 16, like, I want to do this because I want to raise money to do this. I want to buy my own thing. And like, they are so self-reliant. So, I mean, that's a totally different kid. I bet they never had to be dragged through the ice cream aisle, right? Maybe. Behind this same grocery store where this kid's checking out, there's another set of kids from a different family, and they're not doing what they need to be doing right now. They don't got a job. They're vandals. They need to be caught. And then if you take a drone shot all the way over to the local parks and recreation, you got your 9-year-old and parents in the bleachers. And he's pitching almost a perfect game. It looks so awesome. His older brother didn't want to come. His older brother wants to do his own thing. And the parents said, look, as long as you stay home and practice your piano because you have a recital and over at home, that older kid is more on his phone and the piano is an ottoman. My question for you is, what do all these have in common? What do all these kids have in common? When you think about the kid, what does the kid need who's being dragged, who will throw a temper tantrum? What does the kid need who's doing well with the curveball? What does the kid need who's self-motivated at the Brookshires and they're doing the cashier? What does the kid need who's spray painting the wall behind the grocery store? What do they all have in common? First thing is this. What they all have in common, they are not nearly as perfect or problematic as you think. There's no such thing as a problem child. There is such a thing as children who have problems. Children got problems. But if you think of them as a problem kid, it will affect the way you feel and act and how you parent. Then you'll be all about cutting those apple problems instead of dealing with the DNA. They're not nearly as problematic and they're not nearly as perfect as you think they are. They have issues you don't even know, and I'm telling you, the biggest issue they face, every single one of them, because it's the biggest issue you faced and you are facing. Here it is. Here it is. I don't even know if we took time to guess how quickly we would get to this thing. Think about the kid. Think about the kid who's being, you know, who's throwing a temper tantrum. What are they? They are disobedient. They are selfish. They are not listening. What are they? The same with every single one of these kids. Here they are. Write it down. They're lost. They're lost. It is not an attitude problem that causes your kids to backtalk all the time. It's not an understanding of life that makes them think like, I know more about sex than you do, mom and dad, and I'm 13. I know about what my limits should be. I should have all of the different social media accounts. I mean, all my other fifth grade friends have it. How audacious it is that our kids think that they know what their curfew should be more than you think their curfew should be. What they think their limits and boundaries should be more than you. That is not because they are stubborn or stupid. It's because they're lost and their GPS is recalculating from the time they're born. You and I are born in sin nature. Sin says my way over anybody's way, including my parents' way, then God's way. And they're going to push those boundaries, and guess who else did it? You did too. You know why? Because you were born lost. You were born without a proper GPS, and so Jesus came and created the way we get from A to B. And it is not in just behavior modification. It is in surrender to the character, the conduct, the convictions of Jesus himself. And until we see that that in them is the greatest enemy than anything outside of them, we're not going to have a clear picture of how we approach parenting. You got to see your kids different. How many of you are old enough to remember where you were and watch on TV 9/11, the World Trade Centers? Okay? Now watch. Look around. Keep them up. All locations, keep them up. Put them hand down. How many of you, you don't remember watching it? You were too young. Put your hands up. Shocking to me. Some people I know, like, they don't even know. You weren't around? I'm getting older. Here's what's crazy about that moment, September 11, 2001. As the video cameras were watching, as media was covering, there were thousands of people trying to get out of these buildings, running down fire escapes, jumping out windows, running down the streets. Covered in ash, it looked like a science fiction movie. All the while, there were first responders driving into that ash, driving up to the rubble, and the same fire escapes that people were trying to get out of. There were first responders running in. Parents, you're not just a firefighter called to put out fires in your kids. We are first responders on a rescue mission. If you cannot see yourself here, you won't understand the gravity of it. We're running in when they want to just run out. We're running in to show them the way, to lead them way beyond your capacity to lead them well. We are first responders on a rescue mission because without them knowing Jesus personally, it don't matter all the scholarships they get, they will live lost. The reason we deal with behavior at a table when they're four is because that behavior is going to grow and multiply and become something different when they're 14 and become something different when they're 24. We're first responders. We get to respond to them first. There are peers and culture that is lined up to be the first responders to your kids when they have questions about sex, when they have questions about identity, when they have questions about rules, when they have questions about love, when they have questions about anything. There are people waiting to be first responders. Nobody's going to take our job to be the first responders to our kids. We are on a rescue mission. But we don't even get that until we understand that it's all about how we approach ourselves first, ambassadors. Secondly, how we approach our kids. They're lost, so we're first responders in their lives. We're saving them from themselves many times. But third, clear picture parenting starts with how God parents us. You don't get a clear picture of parenting by removing all the copies and copies and copies and copies and getting to your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. The way you get clarity is you go to your heavenly Father. And the way God parents us is the way we're called to parent them. So you have to see yourself as a kid in God's kingdom. And not just a peasant in his big kingdom, as a son and daughter of the king. You see yourself as that, and then you see yourself as ambassador. You got to understand how God parents you. And I want you to guess, I want you to think about, what do you think God's parenting strategy is in one word? What's his strategy? What's his go-to game? What is his X and O's and the lines? How does he get across the goal line? What's his strategy? And many of us, many people were raised this way, that God's parenting strategy was rules. Walk this way, the straight and narrow. Do this, don't do this. Don't you smoke and don't you chew and don't you go out with girls who do. Listen, if rules were enough for us to get parented by God, Jesus never would have left heaven for earth, died the death he died in our place, lived the life he lived in our place. Rules and regulations will never be enough to change the human heart. They can put boundaries, but they'll never change the human heart. So, God's parenting is not about rules. So what is it? This is one word, and if you will look through the lens of this word, if you'll look through the lens of this action, it's going to radically affect your parenting. I've not batted 1,000 on this, but it can change everything. You need this. You need it more than even you understand, and your kids need it more than they understand, and your grandkids, and your adult kids, and you. We all need this parenting strategy. Here it is. Write it down. It's mercy. You need mercy. I bet he don't even spank his kids. Oh, you don't even know, dude. No, it's not. That's not what I mean. Let me take you to the foundational scripture, Hebrews chapter 4. Jesus, our high priest, who connects us to God, his Father, he understands our weaknesses. And because he understands our weaknesses, we have to understand other people's weaknesses, including our kids. Because he faced all the same testings that we do. Yet he didn't sin. Guess what you did? You face all the testings he faced, and you do sin. And I sin. I fall short of the glory of God. So, because of what Jesus has done, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. We don't have to cower. We don't have to be afraid of what God might do when we messed up. We can boldly come to him. So many of us grew up saying, I messed up. I better not let Dad know. God says, you messed up. Come talk to me. When we understand that relationship, it's like, I messed up. I better go talk to my dad. That's how God wants to have relationship with us. Let's boldly approach the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his what? Every location strong. What? We all receive his mercy when you did not deserve it. You received his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. And there is nothing more important than your kids' need is to know that, yes, there are boundaries, and yes, there are guardrails, and yes, this is the way that our family is doing it. And I know the Smiths are going to do it that way, but as for me and my house, this is the way. Walk ye in it. But if it's not dripping and consumed and baptized in mercy, we're just not going to truly understand how we approach our kids, because the way God approaches us is the way he's designed us to approach them. Mercy is compassion in action. It isn't limp-wristed, jelly back parenting that just lets anything go. Like, oh, you don't want to go to fifth grade? Okay, well, what are your options? Okay. You don't want to brush your teeth? And you know what I found astounding? A parent would never say, whether you want to brush your teeth or not, whether you want to go to fifth grade or not, but you say, hey, whether church is your thing or not, but whether coming to with us to church or not. That's shocking to me. Shocking. Here's what mercy isn't. Mercy isn't, doesn't call wrong right, because God is merciful, but he doesn't call wrong right. He doesn't compromise standards. He's a holy God. You don't have to compromise standards to give mercy. He doesn't say yes all the time either. But yet we receive mercy when we come to him. So as we end, let me offer you what mercy really looks like fleshed out in our everyday life. And you may be hearing this right now, and you're overwhelmed because that's not what you got growing up. You can receive mercy from God today if you didn't get it from Dad. If you didn't get it from mom, God is in vast supply of everything you need. And he's ready to receive. You have to be ready to receive it in your time of need. Quickly, mercy is approaching what's wrong in you, approaching what's wrong in them, but with a different agenda, with a different focus. Here they are, write these down. Number one, it's helping your children see the heart behind their behavior. It's not just behavior modification. You know, why would you do that? Why? What were you thinking? You know the answer? They weren't. So there was a copy of a behavior in their mind that was already running on replay. And why would you treat someone like that? They don't even know how to answer that. I can tell you the answer. Because what's in their heart is, I'm not considering others before I consider myself. I am not doing unto others. I'm not treating others the way that I would want to be treated. That's how you give mercy, by showing them the heart of this, not just throwing out a punishment. Like Oprah, you get a punishment. You get a punishment. You get a spanking. We're just like throwing out the next discipline, and we haven't even dealt with the heart issue. I got to remember, I had surgery on my leg a while back. It's being patiently committed to process. Listen, the Bible says this: foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound up. It's a guarantee. Your kids have foolishness in them. And if you don't work it like a jumble of Christmas lights, if you don't work at unbinding that, it's going to take a lot of mercy to do that, isn't it? And it's a lot of hard work. But guess what happens to a kid that doesn't receive mercy and that foolishness doesn't get unbound in their heart? Do you know what happens? They become adults and foolishness is bound up in their hearts. And so you and I are also living in foolishness in some areas because it wasn't unbound early, and you're still figuring it out because your parents didn't know how to unbind it. So you got to deal with it. So let us graciously go before the throne of grace, and we will receive mercy to see that happen. It's committed to process. Parenting is a one long conversation. How many times do I have to tell you more? And your parenting conversations don't start when they turn 18. Well, I'm assuming they're adults. You got to stop thinking you're leading them to 18. You're leading them to fruitful and effective lives with the Word of God and relationship with Jesus as the central thing of everything. And that don't stop at 18. It doesn't even stop at 32. You got to start thinking about raising your kids towards 32 versus just 18. And by the way, quick flash. You think 18 they're going to be out of the house? You better fast forward. It's 16. When they have the ability to go where they want to go and drive where they want to drive, it is amazing how fast time flies the moment that happens. I don't mean to scare you. I mean to give you a sense of urgency today. Next, it's rooting all you are and all you require in God's word. Listen, parents. Do you know why some parents yell on the bleachers at their kid? Put your glove down. Pay attention. Do you know why we do that? I promise you. Has anybody ever yelled and gotten in your face and made you say, "Wow, I am so grateful for this conversation right now"? You think any kid waiting on deck, parents saying, "Hey, you got to like grow, like you got to swing. Don't be afraid out there." They're like, "Yeah, that's exactly right. Thank you. High five through the fence." I'm going to tell you what it is. And you're not going to like it. It's not for them. It's for you. So often you're embarrassed when your kid messes up on the ball field and how it relates and how it shows you. I haven't practiced with them enough. I haven't told them how important their part of the team is. And if you root all you are in what they do, you're going to be really disappointed because they are never going to be perfect. If your identity is in how good your kids obey or how good your kids do in school, there's going to come a time where that's going to be done and gone. And then where's your identity? And if they don't do good, where's their own identity? How do they begin to describe who they really are? They must be a failure. They must not be enough. Because you said, "How could you do this?" Listen, I'm getting therapy today just by talking to me. I'm coaching me today. But we're all guilty. You got to have your identity in Christ and who he says you are, not what your kids do. Can I tell you, some of you feel beaten up and down because of the way your kids are like living their lives now? And had you just done a better job? No, you need to receive mercy on that. Listen to me. God is the only perfect parent. And God only had two kids that he made on his own, Adam and Eve. All the other kids were our job. Bless God. And the two kids that the perfect parent was responsible himself to raise, both failed. Both turned their back. Both sinned. Both said, my way over your way, Father. So does that make, should God have done a better job? No. So some of you need grace today. Some of you need mercy today. Because you have been putting your identity in how good or how not good your kids are. You got to put your identity in who God is. And it'll help you lead them for their own identity. Finally, it's consistently reminding them and yourself of God's presence and power. You're not always going to be there, and you're never going to be strong enough. And if all you do is always lead them back to you, you are leading them back to a source that is imperfect. You are leading them back to a source that doesn't have enough strength. You're leading them back to someone who doesn't get it right all the time. You're leading them back to an imperfect picture, a pixelated picture of where life is. But if we lead them back to Jesus, lead them back to God, lead them back to his word, listen to me. You are the first look on God's face when your kids mess up. For some of you, that is crushing. I get it. I'm embarrassed at the way I've represented God's look on his face to my kids before. He's quick to receive mercy, but when they come to me, I'm quick to lose it. You're the first tone of his voice. You are the touch of his hand. Being careful to not treat obstacles like hassles. You think when they mess up that that's like a total, like, what? How did this happen? Like, that's expected. Change your expectations. Manage your expectations. Kids are not going to do what you want them to do the first time all the time. So you have to be ready to know how to respond to that. And it comes from your deep understanding of the mercy you received that you can now give from God. It's humbling accepting your limits. You don't have all it takes. You don't have all the knowledge. But you lead them to one who does. Clear picture parenting is willingly confessing your faults and needing mercy too. One of the best things you could do to your kids is push pause in a moment and just say, hey, I messed up. Hey, I responded that way. I'm sorry. You don't say, I'm sorry if you took that wrong. I'm sorry. I did that wrong. I want you to take a replay on the last 6 weeks of your parenting. I want you to think about it. Maybe if you're in your kid, I want you to think about the last 6 weeks of your kid-ing. Maybe there was everything you did or everything you said, everything they did, everything you said, everything that you responded, how you responded. I want you to just take a replay real quick. Just like throw it through. Last 6 weeks. Are you satisfied with how you've responded? Do you bat 1,000? Just this last season of parenting, dealing with a situation. And when I heard what had happened in the car, I got so mad. This happened in the last 10 days. I slammed my fist down on the dashboard like 5 or 6 times so hard that the speedometer deal busted out of the dash. Thank God it fit back in there. Had it been a sheetrock wall, it would have been holes everywhere. I was so mad. I was just responding the way that has been a copy of a copy of a copy of how I respond. And even though there were consequences, even though there were behavior that had to be dealt with. Beyond the behavior, heart issue, the way we think about things, seeing a bigger picture. I still had to go to one of my kids, put my hands on their shoulders, look at them in the eye and say, you know how I responded the other day when I slammed and screamed and I looked at you and I yelled in your face so hard? That's not who I want to be. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? The truth is, the people that give mercy the best are the ones that know they need it the most. You and I, you can't give what you don't have. And if you grew up without mercy, it's going to be hard for you to give mercy. You may think it's mercy, but it might just be leniency. So at all our locations, listen, 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 listen. Some of you feel like you're at a dead end in your parenting. Some of you feel like, I just can't do the right. Some of you have so many regrets. You're like, I can't even tell them to do this right, because when it came to the way that I dealt with this and the way I did this, I mean, I totally screwed up. I'm the most terrible example. Your mess ups can be a megaphone for God's grace. They don't shut you up. They're a megaphone for God's grace in your life. Yeah, I did have, I was not doing the things I need to do. I did not live pure. I did not do that. Yeah, I did try certain things that were illegal. But it can be a megaphone for God's grace and what you realized and what you understood. And so now in all of our locations, I want to pray over every parent. Maybe you're with your spouse. Maybe you're by yourself. If you're by yourself in single parenting, you're not alone. I'm going to invite you just to kind of put your hands on your heart. If you're with a spouse, I want to invite you to grab their hand. Janet, come up here. And I want to pray over every family. Not about another strategy, but I'm actually going to ask you to open your heart and receive the supernatural mercy of God. It soothes wounds. It forgives the past. It gives you hope for tomorrow. If you want to receive that, will you pray with me? Jesus, I just start with me and Janet. God, there are so many things that we have not done right. We want the best for our kids. We want everything to work out, and sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. God, forgive us for putting our identity in who we are. Put our identity in who you are. We just re-up that commitment today. And Jesus, I pray now. I pray a supernatural gift of mercy upon every person in our rooms, young and old, parents or not parents, grandparents, everybody in between. I pray that they would be bold approaching you, God, and that they would receive mercy today. Receive it, friends. Receive the mercy for tomorrow. Receive mercy for the past. Receive mercy to compassionately be a first responder for your child. Receive mercy. Receive it. And for those that are receiving it now, God, I pray for open doors and open eyes and open opportunities, that what they have received, they would be generous to give. We ask it in your name. Everybody said amen.